You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, proudly beside Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good morning, Mr. Sussman. Good morning, Matt. How's everybody doing?
Matty, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. What happened? You can't keep a good man down.
I asked you how we're doing. You didn't respond, so I didn't respond.
Oh.
I'm enjoying looking at the mini-me version of the fantasy exec.
Yeah, they got me in a little chair.
This is actually hysterical. We have a monitor in it. We have a monitor inside our studio. And it's actually hysterical.
It is. You think it's funny, huh?
I do.
I said good morning, and you looked away from me, Greg.
Well, I said good morning to you. How you doing? And you looked at me and said, hey, everybody, you know, Corey. I'm like, hello. You just ignored my question.
No, I said, I'm doing good.
You did not say that.
Well, I made reference to it. I said, hello, good morning, everything's okay. I got the little chair, so I got to do one segment in the little guy chair. I like the Phil Jackson seat. I like the big seat, like I got a bad back.
Uh-huh. I understand that.
It's been that way for years now.
You've had a bad back?
No.
This is funny.
This is ridiculous. Why do I? Who did this on purpose?
That's how I felt when I had it for a week straight sitting here. Matt would laugh at me.
Yeah, it's not funny.
I feel like Jerry Bruckheimer looking down at his minions.
The Seattle Mariner hat that Matt has on today.
I'm expecting rain. You're expecting rain? That's funny. Oh, man, there's some funny stuff going on in sports, man. There's some funny stuff going on in sports. You know what the latest rumor was that leaked out last night?
What's that?
You guys see this? Latest rumor that leaked out from Chris Haynes of ESPN. Here we go. If the Warriors could create a max, this is from Roto World as well. If the Warriors can create a max salary slot this offseason, they could position themselves to secure a meeting with LeBron James.
Yeah, at that point.
What?
Kevin Durant would have to leave.
He just signed. It'd be Curry that probably left, right?
I think at this, I go back and forth on who would be the odd man out. You would want to keep the more skilled, talented big man. But Kevin Durant still got that mama's boy thing with him. So if he was to leave, it would be that would create a spot for either Paul George or LeBron James. But LeBron James is not going to play for the Warriors.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because he already lost him twice, and that would
Kevin Durant lost to him a billion times, and he went and played for him.
Yeah, does he want to be known as Kevin Durant 2.0? That's the way I look at it.
But isn't Kevin Durant kind of known as LeBron 2.0 though?
No, I know, but just that like kind of like bitchy kind of.
Yeah, no, I got it. That would be a wild one, man.
It really would be, but that's not going to happen.
I just thought that was like a crazy thing I read this morning.
LeBron's going to go to the Lakers and try to take him out.
I'd like to see LeBron play with Harden.
Oh, that would be very
good. That'd be cool. Go down to Houston? That'd be cool. Do you guys think like LeBron like doesn't actually want to go to the Western Conference? He's going to just stay in the East and run the East? Is that a thing, Corey?
Dave, you got to be able to beat that Western Conference team, so you might as well go on over there.
But like, you don't have to do it until the finals then.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose in the finals either, though. Again and again and again and again. That's been his MO.
Matt, let me ask you this. Would the Warriors want LeBron?
I mean, anybody would want LeBron. I understand how they're positioned right now, and it's like kind of like a joke. We're just waiting for see who's going to face them in the finals and how long that series is going to last.
But at 34 years old, does LeBron make sense for this Warriors team, basically? Depending on what they have to move, right? They don't have to move any of the big four.
Yeah, no, depends on what they have to move, but they're also... You know, LeBron don't like to stay places too long anyway. He's coming, you know, he's aging. Like I say, he finally grew into his age. And so why not? I mean, why not just keep winning every single year? And at some point, the NBA is going to have to do something. I don't know how they enact a rule or whatever, but it's getting to the point where the regular season does not matter. It's all about other teams positioning themselves.
Yes, of course. It's exactly about other teams positioning themselves away from the Warriors, away from the Cavs, away from the Celtics. It's what we're used to. And I just found that story so fascinating this morning. LeBron.
Here's why I say no.
Sure.
I say no. LeBron wants to be the GM and coach, right. So I don't think he's going to be allowed to do that and go
right.
Straight.
Well, let me kind of throw this out there at you, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why does LeBron leak this? Which obviously comes from LeBron's camp, right? Like, it's a dude that's covered the Warriors before, Chris Haynes, a dude that's covered the Cavs before. Warriors aren't, like, throwing this out there.
No.
Why are LeBron or Maverick or Leon, why is somebody from LeBron's camp leaking this?
That'd be interesting, but I don't think that would be the case. That I don't think that would be a move that they would make. excuse me. I don't think that there'd be a move that either LeBron or the organization would make. The reason for leaking it would to cause intrigue. That's what LeBron James like. He likes to cause intrigue. He likes to be a topic on SportsCenter and stuff like that. So I think that would be the reason why.
So it's just ego? Just want to hear himself talked about?
Yeah, exactly. It's ego. LeBron's a big ego guy. You know that. All of these athletes are ego guys, though.
I get that. But this one... I get it. So is this maybe, Matt, maybe it's almost like a warning to Dan Gilbert? Is that what this is? I'm just trying to figure out the reason.
Yeah, but
it.
I don't know how it's a warning. I mean, Gilbert wants to sell the team. LeBron wants to leave. So, I mean, if you're looking, maybe you take one last run with him. But you can't trade him. But like Corey mentioned today, that's really would be the best thing for this team. I mean, I don't know. I don't see going to the Lakers. If he goes to the Lakers next year.
Yeah.
Is he beating Golden State? No.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, what if he brings Paul George with him? Does that change anything?
I still don't think that's enough.
Corey?
I mean, then you create a super team. Another super... Yeah. I think Paul George is definitely an option.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Steph Curry is going to, like, Charlotte or something.
Right.
I don't see... They got a good thing going on in the Bay Area.
There's no reason to really break that up right now. Unless you swap out Durant for George, which could happen.
But didn't Durant just sign this contract?
Yeah,
like this past summer? Like
what kind of deal is Durant have?
Spottrack.com.
Yeah, Spottrack. Spottrack Greg.
Unbelievable. All right. Kevin Durant. Oh, all right. I didn't realize. I thought it was longer than this. He has 1 year after this.
Yeah.
1 year after this one.
But why do you want to get rid of
him? I don't know.
I mean...
Maybe he'll come in the Knicks after this.
I mean, look, if LeBron really wanted to
Knicks ain't make, the, I keep telling Knicks fans, the Knicks ain't the Yankees.
I know.
But that would be the place to go, really. If you want to just, look, he's a legend and he's all in that. But if you really want to cement or turn a franchise around and be able to go out like that's like your swan song, you know. Look, the Knicks could use a coach and a GM. So.
Yeah, that's what LeBron does. He becomes a general manager also.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's really crazy, man, what this guy's doing. So this was like not how I plan on leading the show today, but I thought it was important to talk about. How I actually plan on leading the show tonight. You see, Corey,
mm-hmm.
in your baseball research, as you mentioned Matt's new hat, did you see who signed with the White Sox yesterday?
No, who was that?
On a minor league contract. Obviously an invitation to spring training. Because mm-hmm. he's going to be their closer.
Ventra?
No, Ventra's a JV closer.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm talking about a varsity closer.
A varsity closer?
Oh, yeah.
The White Sox signed a varsity closer. Oh,
hell yeah, they did.
Who was it that was K-Rod?
You know what the best is? You saw the Phillies. You know the best is? I feel like Matt doesn't know, which makes this even more fun for me.
Yeah, no. Who did they sign?
Welcome to the squad. Genmar Gomez,
oh, God.
You had me scared for a second. I'm like, I'm drafting Joaquin Soria as the closer. I'm like, what's
going on? Genmar is back!
Genmar Gomez. I love Genmar Gomez. He's back, and he's better than ever.
How about that, huh?
Look at that.
I was so excited to tell you guys this morning.
Yeah, they're going to need a mop-up guy in the fifth inning. So. I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
What? He's like going through his timeline, looking at everything. Genmar's back, Corey.
I love Genmar Gomez.
Me too, man.
He doesn't get the credit he deserves.
He doesn't. He was a superstar 2 years ago.
He's a great locker room guy.
Great personality. They needed to bring him in. Oh, man, I'm so happy for Genmar.
I'm happy for Genmar, too. Shout out to Genmar Gomez. I thought you was going to say Bobby Thigpen.
No, Bobby Thigpen. Not Bobby Thigpen.
Yeah, not Bobby Thigpen.
Not Bobby Thigpen. He's not Bobby Thigpen.
Probably washed now.
I'd say so. Probably so.
Bobby Thigpen, is like, he like a guy that would ever be considered for Hall of Fame induction?
No.
He's not on that track.
I don't believe no. So. No. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
There was another baseball sign. I think you talked about it yesterday, Matt. And that was Alex Avila. I heard you guys talking about it. You guys, this is where you're talking to Corey about this. On FanRag Fantasy Baseball.
Yeah. Me and Al Melchior.
You and Al Melchior, where you spent the first 5 minutes not talking anything about baseball. Alex Avila signed with Arizona, 2-year deal. Got a little bit of money. And Alex Avila feel like he's been around for a long time with Detroit. And I felt like it was fantasy relevant at one point, then he wasn't fantasy relevant anymore, and then he got traded away, and it's like, eh, whatever. Now he signs in Arizona. And in that ballpark, Matt, can Alex Avila be a top 12 catcher?
I mean, if he gets the at-bats, the problem here is this, it doesn't sound like this humidor is going into effect, or maybe they're waiting to see if they could re-sign like a J.D. Martinez
right.
before they
play. Right.
That's kind of what it seems.
Or they're going to sign a pitcher, and they're like, we're putting it in.
Depending upon which route they go there. Look, Avila had a really nice season last year. I think some people were really hoping he might go to like the Yankees.
Right.
That would have been a perfect park for him. Look, in Arizona, if he gets the at-bats, the ball plays there as for now. And if the humidor hasn't been installed yet, I really don't see it happening.
Okay. Well, how long does it take a humidor to be installed?
That I really don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but it sounded last year they were going to implement it.
Right.
And now it's February, and it still hasn't been implemented.
That's crazy. It's February
1st. It's kind of telling me, you know, what's the wait?
Fair point. Absolutely fair point. So, with all that being said,
I wouldn't say he's a top 12.
Okay.
But I think in a two-catcher league, he's a very suitable catcher, too.
Okay.
And I was taking, like, Chris Herman sometimes, like,
sure,
as my third catcher, or if I really just punted the position.
Yep.
So I wish I would have taken Alex Avila.
I'm sure of that now. Two catcher leagues, you worry about it. You make sure you grab Alex Avila because he's going to be a starter. He's in a good ballpark, especially if there's no humidor. The ball carries out of Arizona core.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's one of those places that has those extreme ballpark factors. So you look at that situation right there, it does add a little bit more value to the player.
Yeah, exactly. And we've kind of been waiting. We've been waiting on.
Can he still hit, though?
Well, so this is actually that. I'm glad you brought that up. Because this is what I was thinking. Same things that you were. Can this dude still hit? And I looked it up. He's only 31 years old. No, he's like 36 years old.
Wow,
and
that's only 31 years old.
Right, that's what surprised me. Last year, you may be surprised now, dude hit 14 home runs. Only 112 games, hit 14 home runs. Not much in the other categories. Batted .264. His OBP was .387. He was on base all year last year.
Here's the interesting question, though. Is like Jeff Mathis is going to be the guy as like the framer guy. That's what he's there for, for the stats.
So he catches that Greinke, you're saying?
He's got Greinke. I would want Robbie Ray when he starts to
be wild anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You want that guy there for that. So, I mean, is he like the Taiwan Walker or Patrick Corbin guy?
Oh, God. Well, okay. I
didn't say he's lefty, too. So
you brought this name up. And I, going off track for sure, Taiwan Walker. Is this dude still being drafted in leagues?
Oh, yeah, no. He's going. He's going later, but look, he's got like a fanboy. He's like a fanboy. You know, the fanboys, there are still fanboys for Taiwan Walker. I know people have said, oh, it's his name, Taiwan Walker.
That was me.
That was Greg Sussman.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy that I've really ever been on.
Okay.
And is there still some talent there? Yeah, no, there is. I think there's just other arms that I'd rather gamble on or, you know, later on. First of all, it's the park he's playing in. He's not Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke is a cerebral pitcher. He's been one of the best pitchers. He had that first season in Arizona was a disaster. But you saw last season. And the numbers he put up last year were some of his career highs and like strikeout percentages and stuff. So I don't know. I'm not on the Taiwan Walker train this year. It's leaving late. So if you want to get on, you
plenty
can.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Good seats available. Seats,
perfect analogy.
I've been drafting Taiwan Walker for what feels like my whole life. Like, literally since I was 10 years old, I feel like I've been drafting Taiwan Walker because this was the year he was going to break out.
It's going
out.
To come together.
It's going to happen. And then finally, like, James Paxton became that guy for Seattle. So it was finally over. And before then, it was Michael Pineda in Seattle. But Taiwan Walker, I swear to you, Matt, I've had him on at least one team for at least the last 5 years. Like, I had to have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people keep going back. Look,
people keep selling me on him.
They're waiting for that year and say, you know what? I'm finally right. It finally happened. And he's not, like, old. And
Taiwan Walker somehow is still 25 years old.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So I get it. I just... It's not a guy I'm going to go to. There's just other names. I'm trying to see where the hell he's going right now.
So last year in Arizona, doing 9-9, pitched 157 innings, not career high, but 157 innings, struck out over 8 batters a game, walked like 3.5 batters a game, ERA 3.49, xFIP, FIP, both over 4.
I'll give you, how about we play this game real quick?
Oh, I love this game.
Here's the names going right in his ADP, which is 216-ish.
Okay,
there's Aaron Sanchez, Dylson Lament, Blake Snell, Mike Clevenger, Taiwan Walker.
Okay, so we talked about Aaron Sanchez either last week or earlier this week. Now, I like Aaron Sanchez. I said it to you. I think blister issues really can really hurt him. And he's younger. I like Aaron Sanchez. Okay. Mike Florio, okay. I know next week he has gone on a deep dive on Blake Snell, and he's like deeply in love.
No, Blake Snell's got... Florio's not alone. There are many.
So he's deeply in love. And a guy that I have loved for years now, for the last 2 years, is Mike Clevenger. I like Mike Clevenger because that strikeout stuff is real.
Denilson Lament, he's like Clevenger. Wild, but you
right.
Upside, strikeout.
Give me all of them! Give me all of them! Over Taiwan Walker.
I agree.
Those are guys I want. When we come back, 3 guys we don't want. And we do it.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome inside Studio 34. To my right, the fantasy executive. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modico. What's going on? So baseball, it's officially, gentlemen, February 1st. Tomorrow's show, I'm sure, will be mostly dedicated to the Super Bowl. We've got a bunch of prop bets we're going to go over tomorrow. Break those down in depth as you did, you know, a week ago. We'll break it down as close to the game. We'll make official predictions.
We got Florio Lyon tomorrow, too, right?
Mike Florio, is Mike Lyon tomorrow? Silence is deafening.
You will.
Super Bowl.
Oh, you will. There you go. All right, you will.
I wish he would get on his job.
Amazing.
Can you imagine that?
Amazing. Is Mike Lyon tomorrow? Prop bets tomorrow. We're going to have Super Bowl. We're going to have a bunch of Super Bowl stuff tomorrow.
He's doing a fabulous job.
So I figured that was the show tomorrow. So today, I did want to, with the calendar turning to February, and Matt's kind of waiting for this. Like, we're all kind of catching up to him when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, like, you know what? It's not that early anymore. It's getting late. 6 weeks.
I wouldn't say it's getting late.
6 weeks.
6 weeks to what?
Well, 6 weeks we go live. I mean, NFBC weekend in Manhattan.
Ooh, okay.
Happens in 6 weeks. I think
that's always like St. Patty's Day weekend, right?
Yeah, so usually that's the way it's been falling lately. It always will kind of skew with the calendar.
My favorite thing about that is it's St. Patty's Day weekend.
It's opening up the...
Well, that's the thing. It's a Thursday to Friday night. You have a bunch of dudes in a room dressed as the baseball team. I'm like, there are 75 college basketball games on. What are you people doing? What's college basketball?
You better not do that. You better not talk about our tout brotherhood.
That's not my brotherhood.
It's my brotherhood.
Oh, you'd be here for that?
Tout Wars?
Will you be? Yeah, I mean, will you be there?
Oh, you mean going out to the Staten Island joint?
Yeah.
I'll be at Foley's. I'm not going out to Staten Island unless they need me to do something out there.
Yeah, I'll be at Foley's. So Sunday morning, I'll be drafting.
Very nice.
I'm doing the main event.
Very, very nice. Now,
I'll be over there too.
So what are you going to be doing?
Auctioneer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Why, these kids got to eat.
Well, that's why you win the league, so you don't have to do things like auctioneer.
Yeah, we not ready. We fall from that point yet.
So I was thinking about, we were talking to Frankie Stample about auctioneering. I always think it'd be really fun. I've never been asked to do it, but I think it'd be fun. And then I'm like, you know what? After like the first hour, I'd be very bored.
It can be. It's very tedious.
It's a grind.
It is a grind.
Like at the beginning, it's fun, right? Like, oh, Mike Trout.
Because the big name players.
I hear
come
30.
Out.
I hear 40. And then it's like an hour in, and you're like, $1. Oh my god.
Yeah.
$1.
But you gotta be able to push the pace when you get those dollar players
just,
out there.
Can I say one thing? If you do auctioneer, you are the auctioneer.
Sure.
There's one guy that's been doing it for the NFBC for.
I know exactly what you're going to say, man.
And he's a really nice guy. He's good at it until. He makes comments.
Commentary.
He'll be like,
"You're not there
only
for commentary."
$17 for Daniel Murphy. It's like, you're not there. Somebody's like 18. It's like, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, right. You're not there for commentary. This is not. You don't editorial. If you're an auctioneer, this is not an editorial piece. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Go ahead, auction off the players. Do that. Don't with your comments. Nobody don't care about your commentary, and then you can affect what's going on in the room. Your commentary is not needed. That's very important. I'm glad you brought that up, Matt.
You know, it's maddening for not just me, but there's other people. Yeah. I know Chris Vaccaro has been like, it drives him insane.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to editorialize these picks.
So
it's none of your business.
So in an auction, in a draft, which is coming up, of course, it's now February, so we're certainly inching closer. We're now there. I want to know players that you will absolutely, because there's nothing absolute, as my good friend the King once said, but players that you're not going to draft this year. Give me one of them, Matt.
It's probably going to be Aaron Judge. And it's not that I hate Aaron Judge. I just don't like the price that he's going at. It's probably going to be early second round in a 15-teamer. So in a 12-teamer, maybe you get him like middle of the second. I get the power. I don't think the power is going away. I think he's a lock for 40-plus home runs. And we, you know, even though everybody's hitting homers, you're going to need more of it. Problem is, what's really going to be the... In that second half, he was basically Joey Gallo, if you put them side to side. And I think in the first half, he had his possibly career moment. He's not batting 334 again. I think he's more 250. You know, the upside to me is maybe 270, 275. You can make the argument. If I'm the Yankees, I'm batting him second and putting Stanton. I'm putting him ahead of Stanton. I think that's the way to go. I could be wrong on this, but I'm not going to pay that price there. I'm just not. I'd rather have a guy like, say, Freddie Freeman, who can bat 300, hit 30 homers, driving 100 runs.
So, Corey, a lot of people have said the same thing about Aaron Judge that you just heard from Matt Modica, right? That he's going at the end of the first round, early in the second round, and it doesn't feel like he's rising. It kind of feels like he's even falling farther than that.
Yeah.
People see...
That was a nice play on words, too. Considering we're talking about Aaron Judge, and you said it doesn't feel like he's rising.
Got it. You have an all-rise.
I got the all-rise joint, too.
Okay. When it comes to Judge, people... Yes, enamored by the home runs, 50 bombs, amazing. But they see that second half, and they see all those strikeouts, and they see that average just plummet. Nobody's really excited, which is crazy to me, for the rookie of the year dude that hit 50 home runs. When people draft Aaron Judge, no one's excited about it. It's like, all right.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah,
look
sure.
at the batting, the profile. Like,
okay.
Stanton strikes out 23% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge strikes out over 30% of the time. That's a major difference. Now you can make the argument, look, he's gonna say he's batting second.
Clay Hensley gonna be better this year, though.
Well, but okay, so Corey brings that up. In 2016, when he made his debut and played those 30 games with the Yankees, he struck out 45% of the time, right? That dropped in 155 games last year. That dropped to 30% of the time, as you said. Why can't that drop again?
See, the 2016, I don't even hold it against them.
Okay.
I never do it. I didn't hold it against Mike Trout. I was happy. I look for guys that when they come up and fail, like that first time, they just get a taste. I like that for the next season because they've been in a locker room. They traveled with the team. So that next season, it's not all brand new to them. They've at least had that feel. Look, Aaron Judge helped me win my NFBC AL only league.
Sure.
I got him for $2. So it's not that I hate the guy. I like watching him. I'm a Met fan, but as a baseball fan, you see this guy hit these home runs. They're majestic.
Sure.
It's fun and all that. So the argument could be made. He's got Stanton. You got Sanchez possibly behind that.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to pitch to him. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. I could be wrong on that aspect. Maybe he hits another 50-plus home runs, bats 285. He does that. That's a phenomenal season.
I'm always wary of players that jump up in ADP after one season of doing it like your man VR.
This is a monster year, though.
No, he deserves it. You know what I'm saying?
VR bounced around with Houston and Milwaukee and, like, up and down for the minors. VR's a little bit different than this.
No doubt. I feel what you're saying. I'm just always skeptical of that. But I do think Judge is worth the ADP, so we'll see how it plays out.
So you're not
out.
Avoiding Aaron Judge?
I don't want to start with him. I want him, if Aaron Judge is on my team, I want another dominant offensive player.
Really?
Somebody that's a little bit more trustworthy with their bat. So if I could start.
What does that mean, trustworthy with your bat?
The batting average.
His OBP was .422 last year.
That's good.
Yes, it's quite good, I would say. Do you know how.
A Charlie Blackman, Aaron Judge start.
It's not realistic.
No, well, that is.
He's
glad on the turn.
Is Aaron Judge falling in that far?
In a 12-team league, you can do that.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you know more than I do.
Let's see. Judge is going, he's going, say, 18th is his ADP.
That's crazy.
Well, Blackman has moved up. He was going later. I mean, he's got a min pick of 2 and a max of 15. He's not going 15 anymore. He's going more in the middle at 7, 8.
Yeah.
So.
See, at 15, yeah, you can do that.
If you get him, say you got Blackman at 8, there is a possibility Judge might be around. If you're doing a 12-teamer, there is that possibility.
In a 12-team league, you can do that. You can start that way.
I like Corey's point of view.
Idea. What I do want to point out with Aaron Judge, which hasn't been pointed out yet, and I kind of alluded to it with the OBP, despite batting .228 in the second half, and as Matt said, Joey Gallo-like numbers where he hit 22 bombs, but he hit .228, the walks were still there. In that he had 61 walks in the first half,
could be
66
walks
in the second half. It could be fine.
I mean, in fact, Adam Dunn walked a lot too.
There were only six of those were intentional walks.
Only six were intentional.
Six were intentional walks
in the second half.
In the second half.
All right.
He
walks 18% of the time.
No, look, that's great, but he's still striking out. Even
definitely,
he's still striking out over 31% of the time.
Well, he's a 3-2 outcome guy, right? Strike out, walk, or home run.
Like we talk about this powers and stuff.
Yeah.
Last season, 41 players hit 30 home runs. Okay.
He's reading this directly from his own Twitter.
Yes, I am reading it from my Twitter. 8 players batted .300 with 30 homers. So that's what you want. Those guys are precious because that's a batting average floor and you're getting the power. You got 16 guys that batted .275 or above. So okay. 8 of those were the .300 guys. You got another 8 that went .275 to .300. 29 players batted .250 with 30 home runs.
Okay.
So. You know what? You think you can just get that? I'd rather get a Reese Hoskins a couple of rounds later.
Really?
Who I think is going to hit. I'm not the Reese Hoskins guy at all, but I'm trying to make the point. He's going to hit somewhere in the 30s in home runs, possibly 40, and probably give you the same batting average as an Aaron Judge. Maybe even better.
So this is clearly the big question. You are going to draft Aaron Judge. It depends where on that spectrum you think the average could be. We know we're all agreeing the power is real. We're all agreeing the RBIs in this lineup are real.
He bats 285, 50 home runs, I'm dead wrong.
Right. If he bats, let's say 280. If he bats 280, you're dead wrong, mm-hmm. realistically. If Aaron Judge can once again bat 280, which I honestly don't think is unrealistic. Maybe I'm being biased here. He's not batting .330 again in the first half.
Mike Florio.
You're on the headset here.
He's not going to be biased. Well, he might be biased in a negative way.
Mike Florio.
He should do better than that.
Aaron Judge last year batted .330 in the first half, .230 in the second half, right? He was, I don't think either of those are a true representation of Aaron Judge. Can Aaron Judge bat .280 in 2018?
Can he? Yes. I think that is definitely in his range of possibilities. I would predict him anywhere. He's one of those guys who his average could fluctuate so much just because of the strikeouts. We saw it last year. Like, I think if you expect anywhere from realistically, with him, like 260 to 290, he could be in that range.
But that's, as Matt pointed out via his tweet, like, that's a huge difference. Because you're giving me 260, there's 30 other guys that do that. You're giving me 280, there's 8. Right? Like, that's a huge difference.
I look at it. It is. What are you giving up? Like, to me, like I said, the guy I used before was Freddie Freeman.
Right.
If I want guys in the first two rounds that if I'm not getting that, you know, power speed combo, I want 30 homers.
Okay.
I want 100 RBIs. I want a 300 average, or as close to that as possible.
Sure.
And a guy like Freddie Freeman, who stole 9 bases last year, he was on fire. That ballpark plays perfect for him.
Yeah.
I'm very high on him once again. It's just all he has to do is stay healthy. So maybe that's, you have that issue there. But like you say, here's the difference here.
Freeman's going to push into the first round. By the time we get to late March, Freeman's going to push into the first round.
There'll be some guys that'll take him on the turn. I could see that. You know, it's, to me, it's, do you think he's past Joey Votto now, or are you going Joey Votto? That's really the argument.
That was the question. That was the argument that we had earlier this week. Let me ask you guys about Aaron Judge's teammate. Former Yankee, Robinson Cano.
Oh, forgotten man.
Because Cano has been around a very, very long time.
Still hit,
at this point. So you say you still hit. I've been the Cano guy in the past. A guy that's just like, listen, kind of what Corey said. He's a forgotten man. No one ever cares about Robinson Cano. Plays 155 games every single year. I mean, he's played 150 games every year since the last 10 years.
Very good DNA.
Last year in those 150 games, he hit 23 homers, batted 280. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As Matt points out, everybody hits 23 homers, right? Like, Didi Gregorius is hitting 25 home runs this year in less games. What does Robinson Cano now do so well that we, you know, they're going out and drafting Robinson
Cano? Durability.
Okay.
That's very important.
Okay.
When you're putting together a Roto baseball team, you look at durability, you look at reliability, you look at, he's a back of the baseball card guy, you know what the numbers are going to be, and you're going to get a discount on draft day at second base. That's what he does.
To Corey's point, you look at the plate appearances. I really like this Mariners lineup. I mean, you're adding in a D. Gordon. Nelson Cruz, I'm still in on Nelson Cruz, and that's another reason why I won't
center field for them.
That's another reason why I won't take Aaron Judge. If I can get Nelson Cruz, you know, a round or two later,
sure.
I know he's an old man, but until he doesn't do it, I'm going in. So the thing that helps Cano too is Daniel Murphy, and that injury for me kind of bumps him up, because I right now, I'm avoiding Murphy. I took him in my first NFBC draft. I haven't taken him since, because I hear Mike Fracture still on crutches.
Not interesting.
He's not a young guy, too. So Cano is stable. If Cano hits last year with the 23 and the 280, he also had 97 RBIs. So if he can hit 25 homers with 100 RBIs with a 280 to possibly 300.
In 155 games.
You know, that's, he has ageism against him. People stop moving away, but
35 years old is Robinson Cano.
Oh, you're getting up there now.
Sure is. Absolutely. I agree, Matt, that there's ageism. But I do wonder, and maybe it's because of that age I'm asking the question, does he once again have 150 games in him? Does he once again
He's a second baseman. He ain't a running back.
I want to know, so last time this happened, last time he had this down year, his first year with the Mariners, if you remember, back in 2014, he was
slow
hurt.
Start.
He was hurt all year. Yes. He was hurt all year.
He's never helped.
And he played 157 games anyway.
Yeah.
And he came back and just like, listen, I'm going to be healthy.
He had something wrong with his stomach that year, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, hit 21 home runs. Like, okay. Again, he still wasn't himself. A year later, 2016, he goes bonkers and hits a career-high 39 home runs, 107 runs scored, 103 RBIs. He was unbelievable in 2016. 2017 was kind of back the other way. What Robinson Cano do you get in 2018? I don't know.
I think you probably would say you get the more 2017 Robinson Cano. But there's nothing really wrong with 2017 Robinson Cano, especially where he's going in drafts.
He's more of like a, he's not a guy I'm targeting. I'm not really avoiding. I right now I currently have zero shares.
Fair enough. Okay. When we come back on Roto Experts, I'm going to be joined by the King, Scott Angle.
Oh, no.
He wants to talk about finding the next breakout running back. You heard Jake Seeley and the guys doing it on Target yesterday. Scott and I will break that down when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Make sure you check out Fantasy Factor because the Super Bowl squares are back. They're giving away over $2,500 in cash and prizes, and it's free to enter. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter. So sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. With that, we bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today off the rest of the week as well. He is my good friend, the King, Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, my brother? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's a busy time of year. Getting ready for baseball, as you guys were doing, enjoying the conversation there.
Thank you.
We got more fantasy golf this week. We got fantasy NASCAR. NASCAR Fantasy Live is actually redone their game for this season. I'll be talking about that early next week. And a lot of NBA, you know, the interesting LeBron chalk. I enjoyed that too.
Oh, thank you very much. If you're interested in more fantasy golf talk, you watch 3 Under Par, now available on YouTube, Scotty.
Yeah, and also you can go to Daily Roto and check out, you know, their projections and everything that they have there. They have a brand new product for the season.
They do, but, you know, I prefer to watch 3 Under Par.
With the fantasy
executive.
You both
at the same time.
Well, Scott, you sit up here and, people, you get mad if somebody don't promote your little Hall of Fame hour and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Somebody trying to promote my product, you blowing right past it. You know, what's up with that, Scott? Huh?
Good morning, crybaby. You know, I hope they have tissues for you there in the studio. Greg promoted that. I promoted Daily DeRoto. The two go hand in hand, you know, just like you and not making the playoffs.
Excuse me. Oh, you're talking about one league, Scott? That's what you're talking about now?
Yes,
you get a little
one
W?
League, like our biggest, most important league that we play in.
How big
is
most important league? You don't know nothing about my league,
because it's got
Scott.
The most money.
You don't know
it's
nothing.
Got the
you don't know nothing
it's
about
the most important one that I play with you in.
Okay.
And you haven't even made
so
the playoffs.
Say that. Okay, so that's cool, Scott.
I'll say what I want to.
I went
because
Scott,
I'm your fantasy father.
You,
I raised you. I raised you in this business.
Greg, talk to this
so
guy.
You will speak to me with respect, Junior.
Leave. Let me tell you something, Scott. Don't
leave.
Make me
goodbye.
Put, put you
go cry. Go
you,
cry.
Put your old ass in the headlock, Scott. I'm not playing with you.
Well, see you later, Rice Hoskins.
He's a hater.
You call him Rice Hoskins?
No, that's what. Yeah, the last week.
I made a mistake.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
Reese Hoskins.
So did I. I said Corey would be great to work with this network.
You know, I didn't call him. I didn't call him David Wright. Put it like that.
RotoExperts.com. That's where you can check out Jason's article. He was talking about this yesterday on Target. There was a great conversation. I'm glad, Scotty, to bring it up with you right now. RotoExperts.com, he talks about finding the next breakout running back. That's what we're always looking for, right? We're always looking for who's next. What guy is going to, which running back is going to break out this year? Who, rather than always looking back, we want to look forward. So let me throw out the obvious choice here, right? Let me throw out the one that... Oh, I can't do that because of course, it's the answer. I knew Jake would choose this one. I'll wait. I'll build it up. I knew it. This is the first guy I wanted to bring up. And obviously, Jake chose him because Jake's in love with him. All right. Let me bring up this guy then. A guy Jake was in love with last year in Jamal Williams. You know Jake is absolutely in love with this dude. And he plays in Green Bay. He could get an opportunity. Is Jamal Williams one of these breakout guys in 2018, Scotty?
Yeah, they drafted him ahead of Aaron Jones, and it took a little while for him to get acclimated, but I think he's going to be the guy. When Aaron Rodgers is healthy, though, they're still going to be a pass-first team, in my estimation, so you have to be careful. But I think after Eddie Lacy failed, they've still been searching for the replacement, and they may have found it in Jamal Williams.
I don't know about that, because I still think Ty Montgomery exists. I know he was banged up, as we kind of all assumed he would be. I still think Aaron Jones has a role. I know they drafted Jamal Williams ahead of Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones looked good in his opportunity. So, I don't know. I think this is just a tough one to predict in Green Bay.
Look, like you say, you make a good point. It could be a running back by committee. It could be a timeshare, but I think Jamal Williams, along with Jake, is the most talented out of those guys.
Right.
Ty Montgomery is almost like a slash type of player.
Yeah, all right. Corey, what about you? What do you think of Jamal Williams?
Jamal Williams, I think he can be... Listen, the Packers, I think we need to stop the Packer running, going to Packer running backs. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm not going to the Packers to get running, to look for a value at running back. So I think you may see it where it hits time to time. I'm not that excited on Jamal Williams, to be honest with you.
Okay, so
you think he's going to get overdrafted, Corey?
Not if I have something to do with it, because I'm the leader of the industry. I set the tone for where people get drafted at, Scott.
Well, all right, Isaiah.
Good thing it didn't work for Chris Hogan.
Yeah. All right, Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, that's what you're doing. Actually, though, when you said Isaiah, I thought you were talking about Isaiah Thomas. So that was interesting.
Yes. Come on, the Crow Show.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Funny.
All right. What about Funny my guy? What about my guy, gentlemen? Yeah. What about Kenyon Drake out there in Miami? They made them a new quarterback, as Corey was talking to us from a source that, you know, we'll see when it comes to Ryan Tannehill. This offensive line in general opened up some space for Kenyon Drake, had a couple of long runs, led people to their fantasy championship. What do you think of Kenyon Drake as a potential breakout candidate, Scotty, in 2018?
It's interesting because you bring up the offensive line, and Jake mentions in his Roto Experts article this morning about how he had the third worst yards before contact in the NFL. So Kenyon Drake was actually creating a lot of his own space, and that's impressive. What I was impressed about with Drake was, you know, the fact that not only could he run well in short space, but when you unleash him into the secondary, into that second level, he had explosive speed. Look, he hasn't done a wire-to-wire yet. You have to be careful of that kind of thing. You know, we've seen in the past with guys like C.J. Anderson when they perform really well down the stretch. But when you come out of the gate as the guy, can you do it? And look, I think Kenyon Drake's got the talent, especially if they improve that line over the offseason.
It's interesting because I think Kenyon Drake's one of those guys that, at least I remember, Corey, that kind of led me to where I needed to go, right? Like, he's one of those guys that was led me to the promised land, and I have this, you know, affinity.
Yeah, no. Fantasy owners are romantic.
So absolutely.
You know, if somebody does as well, we like to tend to go back to them. So I think you could see an inflated ADP on Drake. I like him probably in that third round range if Damian Williams is out of town. But Drake still is not a workhorse back. Drake is still going to be a part of a timeshare. I just think that Drake is a positive part of a timeshare if they make the right decisions in Miami.
Probably so. But Scott's also right, Corey, right? That, like, when you see these late season bursts from these guys, we tend to overpay. Like, this is a classic chance of overpaying on Kenyon Drake.
Well, then again, you can look at that any kind of way. Arian Foster.
Sure.
You saw a late season break from Arian Foster, and then he was dominant for years to come.
Sure.
So,
Here's the thing on Fantasy Pros right now, right? On Fantasy Pros right now, the ECR for Drake is 15. He's one spot ahead of Christian McCaffrey. I'd probably take McCaffrey ahead of Drake.
In a PPR.
In a PPR, sure.
I agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Can Christian McCaffrey, then, Scotty, be a breakout running back? I mean, I don't know how you can't call him a breakout running back in 2017. He, you know, finishes a top 12 running back. I don't think that counts, does it?
Well, Jake calls him a potential breakout. I think
he can't break out unless he runs for 1,000 yards.
Well, when he finished,
I think. Yeah, but I'm talking. We're talking about the receiving with him, though.
Exactly.
McCaffrey's more of a receiving back. So
agreed. Yeah.
I agree with Greg that we've already seen something from him. I think he just takes it to another level next year.
Yeah, but if you finish in the top 10, I don't think you can be considered a breakout.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement here. Yeah,
I agree with you.
Yep, we're all in agreement there.
Matty Moe.
Ding.
What about All right, now let's get into the nitty gritty. Right here, here are three maybe legitimate options. Dalvin Cook, on his way potentially to a breakout, tore up his knee. I think he's going to be okay. I know there were some questions earlier about that, Corey, but I think he's going to be okay.
He's running.
He's running.
He is running.
So he should be okay. He should be fine.
I tend to trust Dr. A.
Okay. Dalvin Cook. Is Dalvin Cook the breakout running back in 2018?
I don't even know if I'd use the word breakout on him because I think we were on the way already to seeing it when he got injured. So I think it'll just be confirming what we saw early.
Okay.
You know, fine runner with excellent versatility and in a perfect spot in the offense. I think he's going to get so many of the carries that Latavius Murray's just going to become a handcuff at this point.
So you want you want Dalvin Cook as what in 2018?
I'll be willing to take a crack on him as an RB late RB1. Right now, his ECR in Fantasy Pros is 9.
Okay.
You know, I'm certainly willing. I think that's about accurate.
Okay. All right. So you know,
I'm a little concerned here. I don't. Look, Scott's right. We saw it last year. We saw in those 5 games what he can do and what he can do.
And he was getting better.
Yeah. And
yep.
The thing is, though, with Dr. Ray saying and stuff, I'm concerned about that right now. I'm not paying that price.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Coming off the knee injury, right now, I think I just need more information. I need more information when it comes to it, when it comes to Dalvin Cook. Theoretically, you're right, Scotty. Back end RB1, no problem. I have to see him healthy before I answer. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and like Corey says, listening to Dr. Ray on this kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, you want to know for sure because everybody's body heals differently. But you know, by the same time, it was early in the season, so that makes you hopeful that he can come back and be ready for the start of this season.
Absolutely. Okay. Another guy I think is very, very possible. We've talked a lot about him the second half of the year. That's Derrick Henry. If DeMarco Murray is not back in Tennessee, there's a brand new offense there. New head coach Mike Vrabel, new offensive coordinator in Matt LaFleur. So there's no more exotic smash mouth. There's just, well, probably exoticism. So, can Derrick Henry, if DeMarco Murray is not there in Tennessee, can Derrick Henry be your breakout running back in 2018?
I certainly think so, although Jake exercises some caution in his article about some good games that he had and then some down games. But I believe he never got into a rhythm. And I see Derrick Henry as that type of running back where you keep feeding him the ball. He's just going to get better and better throughout the course of a game. So Jake says that Henry is going to be overdrafted. I don't think so. I think, you know, they need to take pressure off the quarterback there. They'll be smashed out to a degree, although I think that offense is going to have good balance. That team's going to improve, and Derrick Henry and Corey Davis are going to be a big part of that offense for a long time. This is a physical running back who also has some speed and just very scary when he gains ahead of steam.
Well, I mean, we've seen what he can do in the fourth quarter when, you know, you're beating up the defense and, you know, he's a load to take down. The one problem I have with him is the third downs. Is he going to be replaced on the third downs? He seems to, you know, that's been the knock on him. That's what they were kind of saying. They weren't, you know, at that point where they were truly comfortable with him as that third down back. Now he has the whole offseason. If it's his backfield to himself, the question is, do they bring somebody else in?
Exactly. And the question is, how does this new coaching staff handle him, right? Do they trust him in that role? We've seen, you know, from both ways from LaFleur. In Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan, he had Devontae Freeman and he had Tevin Coleman. In Los Angeles, it was all Todd Gurley. What will it be in Tennessee? I think the next moves for the Titans, that's going to answer that question for us.
If he comes out of there on third down, he's still going to get a ton of carries, I think.
The next question is the grand winner, right? The grand finale. The man that Jake unsurprisingly chose as his breakout candidate in 2018. The man, do you know who it is, Matt? You want to guess who it is? Who Jake chose as breakout running back?
No.
Joe Mixon. Obviously.
No. I mean, Jake was drafted him in the second round, so I see he's going back to the well. Look, if
first round next year.
If they can do what the Vikings did and the Rams did, and improve this line this offseason and make those adjustments. I do like Mixon a lot. I was on the train. The station kind of beat that into the ground. But, you know, the talent is there. He can catch the ball, too. This offense does need to be improved.
Scotty?
He's not explosive, but he has. You can see watching the guy, he has a very high football IQ, patience, vision. You're able to pick the holes if they're there, although they're not there often enough. You know, he's not going to run away from people very often, but he can be volume and versatility. So I certainly like him, not maybe just as much as Jake.
My breakout guy is Deion Lewis.
I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing this again. You know what? How do I feel about Joe
Mixon? But it'll be interesting. Yeah. It'd be interesting, though, because there were some guys that he did leave off, though,
okay,
that we could talk about.
Okay.
You know, that Deontay Foreman, Marlon Mack, Jerick McKinnon, and if Isaiah Crowell lands in the right spot as a free agent, he could have a true breakout year.
So I think those guys all have a lot of question marks. Right? Deontay Foreman coming back from the injury. We have no idea where Isaiah Crowell could end up. We have no idea where Jerick McKinnon could end up. The one guy there that you did mention is Marlon Mack. We have no idea if Frank Gore will be back in Indianapolis. We have no idea what that team is going to look like. But my opinion on Joe Mixon, I'm not going back to this Joe Mixon well unless the Cincinnati offensive line gets fixed. There's so little that he can do.
What's the price tag going to be?
And what's the price tag going to be? Yeah.
They know this is something they have to do in the offseason.
But they don't spend
well.
Money, so it doesn't matter.
True. That's what they do in the draft. And I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about Chris Carson for next year? Do you think they go back to him, or
so I think the answer
bring
to that,
in somebody else?
As we kind of started this segment, talking about Jamal Williams and Green Bay, and you don't go to Green Bay to get your running backs, I want to agree with Corey here. You just don't go to Seattle to get your running backs. And we learned that last year, and I'm going to take that message to heart. Like, we learn stuff every football season, and instead of playing this game with the Eddie Lacy's of the world and the whoever's of the world, Chris Carson, even though he looked good for, you know, a game or two, I can't trust him at all for any length of time. I'm not going back to Seattle for my running game.
I would not be surprised to see Isaiah Crowell end up in Seattle.
Corey, how would you feel about that? Isaiah Crowell back in Seattle.
I think Seattle has to get back to running the football. If they have a decent back and improve the offensive line, I can do it, and he'll come at a value.
Taking a break. Scotty, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll get a Super Bowl prediction from you.
All right, see you tomorrow.
All righty. Hour number two is on the way next.